Our scripture reading this evening comes from Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. It's page 154 in the New Testament if you'd like to follow along. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I want to express my thanks for the privilege of being with you this evening. And on behalf of Pastor Eric, thank you for your prayers for him and for his family. I was in contact with him yesterday, and I know that he is sensing those prayers. And so he asked if I would come and kind of fill in for him, pinch hit for him, and I said absolutely anything to help him out. And he said, this is the text, but use whatever you want. And I said, okay, well, I'm just going to go with that. And I read through it, and I thought, well, you know, how incredibly appropriate for a night like this. I've noticed that over the past years, the insurance company Geico has become a giant, not only in the insurance industry, but in the advertising industry. A number of years ago, Geico introduced us to the caveman. And Geico told us that saving money with them was so simple that even a caveman could do it. Time went on, and they introduced us to Mike, a disgruntled camel who didn't like Wednesday because it was hump day. For years, we've allowed this little, cute little lizard with an Australian accent to invade our homes and our minds and equate the insurance company with a gecko. But my favorite in all of those was the period of time when Geico told us, gave us this simple little phrase, it's what you do. And so they had a fisherman who told tales, and he said, if you're a fisherman, you tell tales. That's what you do. If you're the guy from the operation game, you get operated on. It's what you do. And my favorite was, if something goes wrong, you blame it on the scapegoat. Though some of you remember, if you don't remember it, YouTube it. It's hilarious. It's great. I love it. It's what you do. This evening, I'd like us to look at one of Paul's letters, this letter to the church in Philippi, a letter whose primary theme is the joy and the contentment that comes in the Christian experience, a letter that reminds us that as followers of Christ, our dialect, our mindset is supposed to be that of thanksgiving. If you remember, these words that were written by Paul were written as he was sitting in a prison cell in Rome. It's actually, we kind of get a picture of what it might have been like, but the reality is it was basically a hole dug in the ground, and they threw him in there, and it was almost impossible to get out. And Paul, sitting in that hole in the ground, had come to the realization that everything that was important to him was wrapped up in his relationship with Christ, his sense of worth, his sense of being, his sense of identity, his source of joy, his source of contentment. All of that was wrapped up, founded in his relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as he writes to the Philippian Christians and to us, he's urging us to find our sense of joy and our sense of contentment, therefore our foundational reason for giving thanks, all in our relationship. And you know why? It's because that's what we do. Because that's what we as followers of Jesus are supposed to do. What Paul does then in our text is to give us the secret to finding this joy, this contentment that leads to an underlying life of giving thanks. And in this epistle that Paul writes, he's trying to get us to focus our attention even deeper. If you remember everything that Paul had endured, you remember that he had been beaten up. He'd been whipped by people who hated him. He'd had stones thrown at him. He'd been thrown into a prison cell with no idea of what would happen to him if he'd ever be released. He's falsely arrested, placed in stocks. I mean, that hardly sounds like blessings to me. And yet the very man who suffered those sort of things wrote these words in our text for this evening, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, he says, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Then thank him for all that he's done. And you know why Paul would say in a prison cell, rejoice in the Lord, and I'll say it again, rejoice? Because that's what people in a relationship with Jesus Christ do. Paul isn't calling us to some pie-in-the-sky optimism that doesn't realize what's going on around us. He was very aware of his situation. He knew that he very well may never leave the confines of that damp, dingy hole in the ground. And yet this is the same guy who in chapter 1 said, "I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear." This is the same guy who would then go on to write these words, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Paul knew that his joy and his contentment were not founded in his position or his prestige. He knew that his joy and his contentment were not founded in his circumstances. He knew that his joy and his contentment were founded solely in his intimate relationship with his Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he tells us, "Fix your minds on that which is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable." That's why he said to fix our mind on things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Paul isn't saying, "Okay, just think happy thoughts and everything's going to be okay." He's not saying just live in the land of the seven levels of the candy cane forest and the sea of swirly twirly gumdrops. Paul's saying set your thoughts on things above, the things of God, the things of your intimacy with Christ. And when you do that, you will realize that joy and contentment are a part of your life, no matter what your circumstances may be. And so therefore, his life will be poured out as a thanks offering for the one who had so transformed his life. And you know why? Because that's what we do. And that's who we are. The answer for all that, the foundational answer for why he's able to do that is found in verses 12 and 13. He writes, "I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." That's the reason we do what we do. That's the reason we can have this attitude of thanksgiving regardless of our circumstances. That's how we can allow our lives to be poured out as a thank offering, because I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now, if I'm really honest, I can't speak for you, but I think I probably do. If I'm really honest, I like to claim that verse when there's some ginormous task out in front of me that I'm supposed to do. Something that I know is way too big for me. Well, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And it's okay, but I wonder if maybe there's a more fundamental, foundational, daily life kind of an understanding to this verse. Paul doesn't say, "I can do major, beyond myself and my abilities kinds of things through Christ who gives me strength." He says, "I can do all things." And I wonder, could it be that Paul had discovered the secret to joy and contentment, therefore the reason for allowing his life to be poured out as a thanks offering? Could it be that Paul had discovered that the reason for doing what we do is found solely in a relationship with Jesus Christ? And in that relationship, when life crushed in and circumstances weren't ideal, in that relationship when prestige and power and worldly success were no longer part of the equation, that in that relationship with Jesus Christ, he found the power to be able to do all things, even find joy and contentment, even give thanks in not so ideal circumstances? Could it be that Paul found in his relationship with Christ that he was able to live out his thanks on a daily basis, no matter what was going around him? I think that's exactly what he found out. And what he tells us is this: as followers of Christ, it's what we do. And that's who we are. In the strength and the power of the one whose presence is with us in those circumstances. And so here's the primary thing that I think we need to learn from Paul. His focus was always on the one who had so radically transformed his life, even sitting in a jail cell. That's why he set his mind on the things above, the good, the lovely, the admirable, the right things of God. And because that was the case, Paul could rejoice and could do and say it again, rejoice always, regardless of his circumstances. Because of that, Paul had no problem allowing his life to be poured out as an offering of thanks. Because when we are living in this place of intimacy with Christ where our entire focus is on him, well, that's what we do. When our lives are transformed by the power of the resurrected Christ being made manifest in our lives through the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are filled with a spirit of gratitude, with a spirit of thankfulness, because that's what followers of Christ do, and that's who followers of Christ are. We're thankful people. We're blessed people. Not because of all the stuff. I said to our congregation this morning, you know, we have a tendency when we sit down to our tables that are just filled with calories, with turkey and stuffed ham, and which I'm convinced is going to be in the feast at heaven. Pie and stuffing and that cranberry jelly that falls out of a can in a blob. And we sit around that table and we think about all the stuff. We're so blessed because we have all this stuff. Then we stuff ourselves. And then we slide into a turkey-induced coma for a while. Wake up and watch football. And then we go out on Friday to get more stuff. And talk about how blessed we are. Our blessing is in the fact that we have hope in Jesus Christ. We have life in Jesus Christ. We can rejoice and say it again and do it again, regardless of our circumstances, even sitting in a hole in the ground, writing to churches. We can rejoice in the Lord because He is our strength, and because He says we can do all things through Him who gives us strength. That is our reason for thankfulness. We, as people of Jesus Christ, we as followers of Jesus Christ, we whose lives have been transformed by the presence and the reality of Jesus Christ's life in our lives, we're thankful people. And you know why? Because that's what we do, and because that's who we are. Of all the people on the face of the earth, we as the followers of Christ, we the ones whose lives have been and are being transformed by the very presence of Christ, we the ones who are being drawn into a deeper and more intimate place with Jesus, of all the people on the face of the earth, we the followers of Christ should be the most thankful, because that's who we are and because that's what we do. We're thankful despite our circumstances that, as we'll celebrate in just a few days, God in Jesus Christ has come to be with us. We're thankful despite our past that He is making us into a new creation, reflecting His presence. We're thankful for all that He's done, for everything He's doing, for everything He's going to do. We're thankful for everything that He's promised. We're thankful that He keeps His promises. We're thankful because He loves us. We're thankful because He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. We're thankful because He set us free. We're thankful because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And so in light of Paul's words, thinking about all of that for which we have to be thankful, hear these words again. Always, regardless of your circumstances, be full of joy and thankfulness in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice, because that's what we do.